Welcome to the Poultry Leadership Podcast. I understand that there are many choices available today, and I am so appreciative that you chose to listen to this podcast. If you want to grow, become a better leader, and ultimately a better version of yourself, then this is the podcast for you. Thank you for joining us. Before we dive into today's topic, I need to take a moment and express our gratitude to our sponsor, Prism Controls. Without their support, this podcast wouldn't be possible. For over 40 years, Prism Controls has been an invaluable partner to the poultry producers, leading the charge in providing technology solutions that tackle real-world challenges. Thank you, Prism Controls, for your commitment to innovation and for making this episode a reality. For more information, check out PrismControls.com. Let's get started today. I am truly excited to have with me someone who has had an amazing effect on my life in just the past 6 months. Brian Bosley is a man that just has really impacted my life in ways of helping me grow and helping me be a better version of myself. Welcome, Brian.
Brandon, thank you for having me. It's an honor. We could stop the podcast right now. I think you said it all right there. I can't top that.
Well, we're going to go a little deeper into that, Brian. So, hey, Brian, tell us about yourself and tell the podcast listeners who you are.
Wow. Okay. Well, first of all, Brian, yeah, like I said, it's an honor to be here. I'm really excited to watch the Poultry Leaders podcast really take off. I think this is going to be a fantastic show for your industry, and I think beyond that as well. So everybody, thank you for taking the time to listen to Brandon interview me today. As Brandon said, my name is Brian Bosley. My title is Peak Performance Coach, Business Consultant, and Leadership Coach. I guess there's a lot of titles to what I do, but so I am 56 years old. I'm from the state of Michigan. I grew up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan and graduated from Central Michigan University back in 1991, I believe. And went on into the financial world, became a financial advisor, went into leadership at American Express Financial Advisors at a fairly young age, in my mid to late 20s. I was in a leadership role with the company. And then in November 20th of 1997, would that be year 1996, actually? It's been 27 years anyway. I left the firm at the age of 29 and started my consulting practice, which is now called the Bamboo Lab. My personal life, I have two amazing children, Ashley and Dawson. Ashley lives in the Upper Peninsula now in Marquette, Michigan. She is married to my son-in-law, Chris, and they have my beautiful grandson, Jack, who's now almost 2.5 years old. He's the light of my life. And I also have my son, Dawson, who I had the privilege of raising on my own his entire life. And he is 21 and a junior at Northern Michigan University in Marquette as well. And I also have three beautiful bonus sons that I helped to raise in my previous marriage, Adam, Evan, and Taylor. All three are married. I have a bonus granddaughter with them and another one on the way. And despite the divorce that happened 19 years ago, those boys have continued to stay in my life on a daily basis. We have contact. And they are part of my crew as well. So I lived in Grand Rapids, Michigan for 22 years, Brandon. And then in June of 21, when my son Dawson committed to going to Northern Michigan, or once I knew he was going, and he moved up to the Upper Peninsula, I moved as well and now live back in the Upper Peninsula. But spend probably at least half of my time still in the Lansing, Grand Rapids, and Detroit area for work and a wonderful relationship I'm in with a beautiful woman. So that's kind of my personal life a little bit, and I'm glad to be able to share it today.
Brian, I get to watch your social media and follow you, and yeah, family is just the way you describe your family and your grandsons and all the pictures you share. It's, you can tell family is a huge, huge part of your life, and that's awesome. It's awesome to see. It's awesome to experience, and helps me get to know you over this last period of time. So in your introduction, you said peak performance coach. What does living at peak performance look like, Brian?
It, really what that is, Brandon, is I'll kind of share this this journey. Is I believe when we are born, we are born at a peak level. When each of us are born, we are born with no biases, no prejudices, no fears. I mean, you think of looking at a child, watching them grow, they have no boundaries. They feel they can do anything and accomplish anything in life. They want to be an astronaut, they're going to be an astronaut. If they want to be a world-class ballerina, they're going to be a world-class ballerina. In their minds, they see nothing but perfection. And what happens over the course of time is teachers and parents and friends and culture and media and even our own actions, what happens is we begin to put these layers over our core. We begin to put these layers of self-doubt, these layers of confusion, these layers of fear, these layers of low self-esteem. We tend to kind of build this layer around us to the point where when we become an adult, we hardly recognize ourselves anymore. And what I always tell people is you were born with a true peak identity. You had an identity when you were born, and you had that for several years of your life. If you were fortunate, and some people went through some tragedies as children, which caused that true peak identity to be evaporated much earlier in life. But for most of people, we have this identity when we're young. Then over the course of time, we start to think that we're less than. We start to think that we can't do this. We don't deserve success or love or happiness or health or wealth or abundance because of all these layers and these words and these experiences that have been layered upon us. And then, like I said, we become an adult. We look in the mirror and we're like, I don't even recognize the person I was. And so what I believe is that most of us carry around a fake ID. Not unlike an 18, 19-year-old student in college might carry around a fake ID to get alcohol or drinks or get into a bar. We do as well. We have this fake ID. And when you think about who you are, for the vast, vast, vast majority of people, who we think we are is not who we are. We are not our accomplishments or our failures. We are not the things that we own. We are not what we look like and what we see in the mirror. We are not what people tell us we are or who we should be. We still have that true peak identity that we do carry deep down in us, that level where we live the best version of ourselves every day. That's true peak level. That's peak performance. And I don't mean perfection, because life is not about perfection. Life is about purpose, and life is about people. That's what life is about. And every day you make progress towards your purpose, and you make progress with other people, how we treat them, how we value them, how we love them. That's what I mean by true peak level. It's living the best version of yourself every day. And then the next day, you live a better version. Because every day, yesterday, today, my version yesterday isn't good enough. Today has to be better. And today, the version I live today will not be good enough tomorrow. And that's what peak performance is living at the best level every day, but the next day living it a little better.
I am so glad you shared that, because this is why you've had such a big impact on my life over the last 6 months, is the fact that I've been blessed to hear this, and you've been able to share what that peak performance is. That is just absolutely incredible. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that.
It's my pleasure, Brandon.
Yeah. So, Brian, you talk about your career and the fact that you're in the financial world, but we're talking to a bunch of poultry producers today. How does this stuff relate to poultry producers?
Because human nature is human nature, Brandon. Our behaviors, our actions, our habits, our thought processes, our own self-imposed emotions and feelings, they are the same regardless of the industry you are. And I started off in the financial industry only because I got a degree from Central Michigan in finance in the late 80s, and just happened to go into the financial world. Now, quite frankly, I would say over the course of the past 27 years of me consulting and coaching individuals and companies, I would say probably 55 to 60% of those clients were not in the financial industry. I just happened to start there. That was my mothership. Okay. In fact, if you asked me much about finances and investments today, I would have a dumb look on my face, because it's way beyond my bandwidth anymore. But human nature is human nature. And whether I coach a C-level executive, or I coach a brand new person in the company, a receptionist, a janitor, mid-level manager, it doesn't matter. Their issues primarily all fit within a certain bandwidth of each other. People are people, man. We are. We have some of the same faults. And it really, most of it does come down to we don't understand the true potential we have inside of us. We really don't. You know, and I'll probably misquote this, but my favorite quote of all time is by Michelangelo. When Michelangelo sculpted this angel on the outside of this cathedral, he was asked how he did it. How do you create this beautiful work of art out of marble? And his quote was, basically, he didn't sculpt the angel. It's kind of what he was saying. But he said, I saw the angel in the marble, and I sculpted until I set him free. And that's really what my role is to help people realize that you have this true peak level inside. You have this quote unquote angel inside of you. And we just, it's there. We have to sculpt the excess marble that's useless. All those things that have been layered on us over the years. We have to sculpt that away to set that angel free. And so it doesn't matter what industry you're in. It's the applications apply both either way.
Powerful, powerful, Brian. That is, yeah, I've felt that over the, you know, as we've been working together. And Brian, I know you don't, you know, talk about your clients much, but I'm going to be free and say that you've been my coach for these last few months. And I've experienced that, you know, you've been working on me in different ways and in not just business, but you've gotten into the personal stuff with me, and you've realized that, you know, I'm a 360 degree person here. I got things that affect me that make me successful. So if I'm not living well in my personal life, how can I be doing well in my business life? So you've really helped me balance that out. And, you know, for that, I appreciate you. What does coaching look like for somebody?
Well, coaching, you know, if I were to define coaching, you know, people have asked me this question now for the past couple of decades, and it's always been a little difficult to describe. And what I've come down to is a good coach is somebody who doesn't walk in front of you or behind you. They walk right alongside you. And they get to know you on a personal level. They get to know you on a professional level. Their role really is kind of threefold. It's to be an incredibly good teacher, a person who can say, okay, here's what I see from an objective point of view that is the best in the best interest of you. Here are some habits that you can start forming. Here's how you can form them. Here are some ideas to implement into your life today. So a teacher is a big role, but also you have to be an inspirer. You know, you have to be a good role model for your clients. You have to be able to show that you're living the same things you're teaching. Now, does every consultant, even the best, live everything they teach? No, I don't either. I fail every single day. I mess up on a consistent basis. But the difference is a good consultant will mess up, or a coach will mess up, and they'll throw those mess ups in the trash. They won't keep doing them again and again and again. They make something that doesn't work, they throw it away. So a good role model or inspirer is important. A person can kind of keep you moving forward when things are down for you. We all need that. So teacher, inspirer. And the third element of a good coach is, I used to call it a thumb breaker, but now I just call it a good accountability partner. You know, somebody who cannot just teach you and inspire you, but can also help you hold yourself accountable to the things that you want and need to do to become a better version. And sometimes those are things that are very pragmatic and practical. Like, here are your goals. What do you have to do on a daily basis to hit those goals? Now, how are you going to hold yourself accountable to those tasks and habits you have to instill every day to reach those goals? So being an accountability partner, helping them to hold themselves accountable, is an important element of coaching as well. It really comes down, I guess, you know, people say, well, really, in a nutshell, what is coaching? Coaching is helping a person to achieve what they want and need to achieve, or something they want to and need to achieve in life that they probably wouldn't without you. It's just that extra boost in life. It's a shot of B12.
Yeah. As you're sharing that, I'm thinking of, you know, that current Netflix series on the quarterbacks and just the number of coaches they have for different aspects of their life. You know, you think of Kirk Cousins, and he's a local West Michigan guy, and the fact that he's got a coach that helps him just with his mental side of it and visualization and just, you know, getting him up to that level, and then just that next little percent higher. And it's crazy to think we need that in business, but I understand that, you know, our workplace only gives us so many resources, and typically it's, you know, hey, manage the people, supervise the people, lead, be a leader. But sometimes it's like, how do we transcend that, take ourselves out of that and look at ourselves holistically, and then invite somebody like yourself in to help us, you know, work sees me this way, home sees me this way. How can I just be that better version of myself? And so when I go to work, I've got the best going forward. I'm, you know, tough in those mental situations when things are breaking down or the world's crashing around me, and understanding the tools and the techniques and the things that maybe work can't prepare me for. And so, you know, I've definitely seen that in the coaching that we've done is those little areas that no one else in the business world is going to talk to me about. But you've dived in and really helped me, you know, identify those areas of growth and my habits and you know, spoke to my good and spoke to my bad and really helped me in those areas. So That's exciting, Brian. I really, really appreciate going in there. But
Brandon, can I share this real quickly?
Yeah.
When you think about really the advantage of having somebody, and I'm not a good fit for the vast majority of people. I'm not. I'm a good fit for a select group of people with my personality and the way I coach. But no matter what coach, if a person decides to use a coach, I think the value is you out there listening to this podcast and this show today, you are a busy person. You're busy at work. You have a lot of responsibilities. You have a lot of stress on you. You have a lot of things you're trying to accomplish. Then you go home and you have an equal amount, if not more, responsibilities and things you're trying to accomplish with family and personal life. And what a coach does is it allows that coach is the one who can kind of, number one, see things from an objective viewpoint. We see things from 30,000 feet. We can see the direction you're going that based on where you want to go. We can look where you're down at ground level, work it. We can step up and say, okay, oh, you made a little bit of a left turn there. You got to get back on track. Okay, now you're back on the path again. And with the limited time most people have, I can do the legwork for people. I love to read and research new theories and studies that show what works for human nature, how people can best perform most effectively without having to, you know, I always say, get the most out of life with the less human cost, which is time, energy, and stress. You know, everybody can be successful. Everybody can be. If you just put a ton of time and stress into something, you'll probably be pretty successful. But it'll be like driving with your emergency brakes on. You'll get there, but you're going to get there slowly, and you're going to wear out your vehicle while you're driving on the way there. You know, and a coach can say, wait a minute, there's a much better way to do this, because they get to work with, you know, thousands and thousands of different people to see what does work and what doesn't work for a person like the individual they're coaching. So there's having that objective person who can spend a ton of hours behind the scenes doing the work. It's like the elf. I always say, you know, the client of Santa Claus, I'm just the elf. I'm building the toys, you know. I'm behind the scenes doing the work that they can deliver to the children every Christmas day, you know? So I think having, you know, being able to take time off of people's plate that they just don't have time to do, to find out, how do I accomplish these things in life? And then from there, you become the teacher, the inspirer, and the accountability partner.
Yeah. And the accountability piece is huge, Brian, just from experiencing it over the last season and just, you know, that task of each week having a few different items that are goals for the next week or the goals for the quarter, and then having to report out on those to your accountability group each week. That's awesome. I mean, it's really brought me closer, one, to my accountability group, and two, it's really challenged me to do just one thing that week. And not every week has been perfect. I failed a few weeks, you know, with simple things that I, you know, I should have been able to do, but I realized, okay, if I'm working just that 1% and just do that one thing, it's amazing how much progress I've made just in the last, you know, the last quarter. So that's really, really cool. But Brian, there's a lot of our listeners, you know, may not have the resources to be able to, you know, afford a coach. What things can they do to sharpen their swords where they're at?
Well, that's the beauty of today, in today's technological culture, is we have access to all the information in the world. You know, I would recommend, I'm an avid reader, Brandon.
Yes, you are.
Probably to a level of my detriment at times, but you know, I know you are an avid reader, man of knowledge thirst as well. Reading books is highly important, and I get the pleasure and the privilege of coaching, being mentored and coached by, interviewing and being friends with some people who are very successful in the business world, corporate world, and I don't know one of them who isn't an avid reader. And reading doesn't have to be sitting down and reading an hour a day. It can be reading 15 minutes a day. It can be listening to Audible books on your way to work. It can be listening to podcasts on your way home. It can be getting online and researching something and watching a TEDx video or a TED video. Or, I mean, I was reading this morning just an article on longevity that I've heard from a podcast, got on. This guy wrote a nice article on it. And it's a wealth of knowledge. And it took me 15 minutes to read it on longevity and mind and body. And, you know, there's just so much out there. And I think, too, a lot of people are another misconception that coaching is expensive. And it can be. But I believe this. And I believe if you find a coach who is reluctant to sway on his or her fee for service, his retainer, then be wary, because that it might be a coach whose purpose is not necessarily to help people, but just to make a lot of money. The best coaches I've worked with and that have mentored me over the years will say, if I think you have potential and I think you have the qualities that is needed to become successful, I'll adjust my fees to make it fit your budget. And that to me was a person who is there to truly help, not just to take money from their clients. And so a lot of people think they can't, and in reality they can. If they find the right person, a person that matches their budget, but also matches their style and their needs and things of that nature, and the expertise that they need.
It's interesting as you talk about, you know, the little nuggets that you get from like a TEDx video. But as I look at it, you know, if I spend 15 minutes a day on educating myself, training myself through podcasts, through articles, through over the course of a week, that's an hour and 15 minutes. And over the course of a month, that could be 5 hours of education I got. And how many people can look back over the last month and say, I spent 5 hours working on being a better version of myself? And you take that and you combine that with your physical health. So like for me, it's listening to podcasts or audiobooks while I run. And I run a lot. If anybody knows my story, I like to run a lot. And so just being able to incorporate that time where I'm able to focus on my education, I'm able to learn something new. And with the energy of running, it's amazing. I mean, that's how I keep up with you and your reading, Brian. You'll recommend a book 1 week, and by the next week, I'll have it read just audiobook-wise. I mean, I did my whole college in audiobooks because I can't sit down. I can't sit down and turn pages without typically falling asleep, but I can incorporate while I drive. And I know a lot of our listeners have long drives. These farms are not close to each other. They live 30 minutes away. I mean, just imagine if you just plugged in an audiobook for 30 minutes and you learned one little nugget of information going to work that day, and then figure out how to apply it to your life. Figure out how to apply it to that day. And you only have to do the 30, you only have to focus on what you learned in that 30 minutes. You don't have to do the whole book. And it's amazing how you'll get an opportunity probably that day or the next day to actually use it, whether that's a management skill or a people skill. And you can just actually use it right that day. And that's how I've learned, is learn it, listen, and then do it. Follow it. And that's really, really helped me grow and understand and be able to utilize what I learned. So
if you think about it, you know, if you look at one, if you get 1% better every day, at the end of each year, you'll be roughly 37 times better at something. You know, there's this old, you know, this thing, and I know I'm probably veering off a little bit, but, and I don't know I forget the exact, and I used to do this speech, Brandon. When you take a piece of paper and fold it over in half, I think it's four. If you fold it, double it in width, you know, fold a standard piece of paper out of your printer and you fold it over four times, it is roughly the size of your fingernail. I think it's 15 times. It's roughly maybe it's 25 times. Anyway, it's roughly as tall as the width of your hand. But if you fold a piece of paper over on itself 51 times, just double it every time, just a standard piece of paper, 51 times. And the 51st fold, that piece of paper would grow as tall as the distance from the earth to the sun. It's the aggregation of marginal gains. It means that every time you do something a little bit better every day, you don't see that growth right away. You see incremental small growth, but then at a certain point, the growth takes off to a whole new level, and that's exponential growth. And then you see that big aha, like, wow, there's the growth that was happening that I was looking for all along. We look for these big moments, a big change in growth. They don't happen. They just don't happen very often. They're very, very rare. But if every day it's just that little bit better, little bit better, you don't see a lot right away. But then it starts building momentum like a flywheel. And then it starts really good moving forward. And then there's that certain point where it just skyrockets. And that really is what we're talking about. It's just a little bit of learning every day. It's a little bit of improvement every day. Slight little adjustments.
That's a strong visual, Brian. And what's interesting is as I've grown as a person and started, you know, reaching out and helping others, helping my team, what I've learned is, you know, everybody's life is different. Everybody else has a story. And with that story, it's typically there's some type of trauma that happened, and it ranges. You know, my story's my own. You know, some people think it's crazy, and if they want to listen to it, they can go to your podcast and listen to it. But for you, Brian, I want to get to this point because, you know, you're a coach and you've got this great life, But obviously, you've had to overcome trauma. You've had to overcome difficult things in your life. Can you share, do you feel comfortable sharing, you know, what's probably the most difficult thing that you've ever gone through?
Oh, sure. Of course I would. You know, the thing is, I still go through it. You know, I still at times have to deal with past childhood traumas and even traumas that happened post-childhood. But yeah, you know, I think by far the most difficult thing that happens that occurred in my life was kind of a catalyst to a lot of other things, that good and bad. In November 4th of 1971, living in the Upper Peninsula, I have a mother, she's still an amazing lady, 88 and a half years old, still works part-time, still walks every day, still fit, and she's fit as a fiddle. I have four siblings, so I'm the youngest of five. I'm much younger than the next oldest, youngest in my family, so I was kind of raised on my own. But when I was 4 years old, on this particular Tuesday in November of 71, my father, who was 36 years old, died of a heart attack. He was a business owner. He left to go buy a piece of equipment, and he was with my brothers. And my brothers came flying home in the car in our small town in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan and said, "Hey, Dad collapsed. They're on the way to the hospital." My dad was dead on arrival. My dad was a healthy, didn't smoke, didn't drink, very active man, but just had cholesterol issues. So he died when I was 4 and a half years old. It was really at that time when I look at life and say, that's kind of when I stopped running between the raindrops. You know, as a child, everything's, you're just having fun. When you run out in the rain, metaphorically, you're not getting touched by the rain. You're staying dry. But at that moment, it was like life changed. My mother had to go back to work, Brandon, and I was put in the care of my grandparents. And my grandfather began to abuse me pretty prolifically at 4 and a half years old. And I was just starting kindergarten during that time frame. And he would abuse me and tell me that I'm a horrible child and that I caused my dad's death. And because I'm bad, my dad died. And you know, the weird thing is I remember vividly walking. He would walk me to the school bus. I went to school at noon when I was in kindergarten for half days. And he would do this, say these things, and walk me to the school bus and put me on the bus and just expect this, you know, 4 and a half, 5 year old child to be able to live life and just move on and have this joyous day at school. And so for roughly 14 years, I thought I had killed my father. I thought I was this horrible person, you know. And it came to a head, Brandon, in April of 1985. I was a senior in high school, and I drove my pickup truck to a marina in my hometown one evening after dark. And I stood there with the engine idling. I was determined and committed to the fact that I was going to commit suicide, and I was just going to end it. I just couldn't live with this thought that I, and actually the time wasn't even a thought, it was knowledge. I thought I for sure I killed my father. And something stopped me. I don't know what it was. And it really wasn't until August of the same year. So now what's that, 3 or 4 months later? I was getting ready to go to college, and I was literally leaving town. And I went down to my father's cemetery. I went down to his gravesite, and I was standing next to his headstone, and I was crying. Like, I'm leaving my hometown. And I don't know what spurred me to say this, but it changed my life. As I said out loud, I said, "Dad, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life, but I promise you I will change the world." And I got in my truck and left. And I never thought again about it. But I always remembered saying those exact words. I mean, word for word, that's what I said out loud. And what I realized at that time, or now, is that it was that purpose that God gave me that kept me going all those years. It what stopped me from taking my life in April of 85 was because I was given a purpose to change the world. I had no idea how I was going to change the world. I mean, I was a misfit. I mean, I didn't have a lot of skill sets. I was barely a B student in high school because I was an underachiever. But I took that mindset and it buried it in the back of my mind for years. And it wasn't until after I graduated college and went on to the professional world that it really started coming out, when my vice president said, "You know, you have an incredible ability to speak in public and really motivate people." I'm like, "What? Nobody's ever said that to me before." I was terrified of standing up in front of people, terrified of it. But it was true. That's what it was. It was God gave me this one skill. So I can't do a lot of things. I can't sing. I can't dance. I can't work on cars. I don't really know how to fix things very well. But God gave me this one talent. And so that was the most difficult thing I've ever gone through. And it lingered, and it still lingers. You know, those haunts still pervade my mind a lot. I still journal every day and keep those thoughts out of my head. I've gone through deep therapy when I was younger to kind of, you know, flush out the reality and the truth of the situation and to deal with it with courage. But they still do haunt me. But it was interesting that during that dark time, if that dark time had never happened to me, Brandon, I would never be doing what I do today. There's no, because it was during that dark moment that my real purpose, my true purpose in life, was designed, and my destiny was created at that point. And so I take it very seriously, my destiny. I mean, because I do believe it was given to me by God, and I do believe that it's something that I can't squander. And that's why I have such a passion for helping other people, reading, you know, learning. I'm a book nerd, and I'm proud of it, because without being able to learn, research, I learn from other people, listen intentively to people, and try to take as much as I can out of each day, I can't go take that and then go, therefore, go change the world like I'm destined to do, whatever that means. It's still in development.
I'm so thankful that God intervened in your life. I'm so thankful that you changed. You are changing the world, Brian. I mean, you changed me just in our interactions. I know I've seen you speak, and you've changed lives in the groups that you've spoken to. So you're definitely living out your destiny, and I have to thank you for that.
Well, it means more to me than you could possibly realize.
Yeah, so
it really does.
Brian, I know we don't have all day here. I could talk to you forever. But how can people connect with you? How can they hear more of your story?
And that's a good question. And I'd like to give my email, my phone number on here. And a lot of people are very reticent, maybe even intimidated or reluctant to call a consultant or a coach. And I just want people to reach out to me. I mean, I am not I'll answer questions to anybody who needs. I'll share anything. I'll help people in any way possible. And so I'm going to give my email right now to people and my cell phone number. Feel free to call, text, or email me. It's brian@bamboolab3.com. So it's Brian with an I, and it's Bamboo Lab, and it's the number 3. The number 3 stands for Strive, Love, Live, which is my motto, my theme. Strive to give your best every day. Throw love and respect to others and to yourself. And live intentionally. Have fun. Enjoy the journey. So that's what the 3 stands for. So it's brian@bamboolab3.com. And my cell phone is 616-366-2789. And if anybody has any questions, one thing you will not get from me, if you're interested just to learn about the coaching process, you're not going to get hard sold by me. I'm just going to say, hey, yeah, man, what do you need? I'll ask you a few questions and say, yeah, I think I can help you, or I think I can't. Because really what I try to do is I answer 3 questions in every meeting or every conversation. Number 1, would you benefit from some type of performance consulting? Number 2, if the answer is yes to that, if the answer is no, then there's no point in moving on. If the answer is yes, then the second question is, well, but do I actually offer and specialize in the exact type of performance consulting and coaching that you need? Because you might need something, you might need it, but I might not specialize in it. And then number 3, could we work together? Is there mutual respect? Is there synergy in our conversation? Well, we could have fun doing this. And if the answer is yes to those 3 questions, then we just say, okay, now let's talk. You know, let's talk about budget. You know, if let's see if we can work within your budget. And if we can, great. If we can't, I'm very flexible, as most of my clients know, because I want to help people. That's really what I want to do. I've done well, and I'm blessed by that. And I really want to be able to just help people. And if a person really has the qualifications to really be successful, you know, the determination, the self-respect, the character, the self-accountability, you know, goal-oriented, purpose-driven person, then I want that person on my resume. I really do. And so we typically always can find a way to work together in some capacity to help them move on to those next stages in their journey of life.
I'm going to speak on his behalf on this one. I heard Brian speak at a men's group. He shared his story. I didn't introduce myself to Brian that night. I actually went home and I Googled his podcast. I Googled his name and I reached out to him, and he reached back really, really easily. And that started a journey for me. I mean, he asked me those questions. He got to know me, and he didn't sell me at all. He literally just made sure that I was looking for you know, what I was looking for. And the fact, you know, for me, Brian just has the energy level that I have. I mean, I loved, you know, I love the fact that you, Brian, just absolutely are 100 mile an hour in some ways, just like me. But then you also know how to, you know, wait, young boy, you know, come back here, slow down just a little bit in these areas. And so, yeah, you are easy to reach out to. And, you know, just that simple kind of being available to help explain the journey, that was enough for me. I mean, that meant a lot to me, just that you responded so quickly into the call. And I was really appreciate that about that.
Well, you know, some people are a little worried about the being available part, because I am extremely available to my clients. I mean, they have access to me basically 24/7, 365, and I tell them when I'm not available. But you know, they'll be surprised at times that when on Sunday morning at 5 a.m., they'll get a text from me saying, "Okay, you have a busy week coming up. Where are you with these three things you need to accomplish this?" You know, most people appreciate that. Some people get a little irritated, especially if they haven't learned to turn their phone off on Sunday mornings yet.
Yeah, that whole sleep boat thing for me, you know, it keeps Brian from waking my wife up next to me.
My daughter made it very clear to me on, I think it was Sunday morning. I get up at this morning, I was up at 3:55, but that's usually between 4:30 and 5, I'm out of bed. And I'll text my family right away, because I know most of them, my son never has his phone on and he wouldn't wake him up anyway. My mother can't hear it anyway. She has her phone in the other room. And I always thought my daughter kept her phone off at nights. And she said, "Bother?" Like at 6:30 that morning, "We have a new rule for you. No texting before 7 a.m. And I'm sorry. I thought your phone was off." She goes, "I keep my phone on in case Dawson, who's her brother, my son, just ever needs me." He does, because they live in the same town. I'm like, okay, point taken. So every morning when I do my text now, I go to text her. I'm like, whoa, it's not 7 o'clock yet. So some people set the boundaries. Those who don't, get an early text from me.
Awesome. And Brian, you haven't talked about your podcast. I've brought it up a couple times, but you actually have a podcast that you host. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, sure. And really, that's kind of my love child right now, Brandon, is I started the podcast by a friend of mine, Dave Dick, who's become an incredible friend, been a client over the years. He's a very successful businessman out of Dallas, Texas. And 2 years ago, this past last month in November of 21, he said, "Yeah, Brian, you're doing a lot of coaching." At the time, I was doing I was coaching 35 hours a week, you know, post COVID period, you know, everybody was working from home. And he said, you're burning out, aren't you? I said, I remember saying I'm worn thin as an old knife blade, right? He said, "You just need to expand your audience. You need a podcast." And I'm like, what the heck? Okay, I heard of a podcast. I might have listened to two or three. But I'm like, all right. So he goes, "Let me do some research with you." So we did. And we launched it January 2nd of 2022 with no expectations of any success. We figured we'd get 4 to 5 subscribers in the first 3 or 4 months, or that I would. And it just took off, Brandon. It was just, you know, the journey has been a blessed journey. We are, you know, what we do is we interview people, ordinary people who are doing extraordinary things in life. We've interviewed people from, you know, many people have been on Oprah Winfrey. We've interviewed people who have never even have done anything that other people might see as extraordinary. But when you dig deep down, they are doing extraordinary things in their world. We just aired our 106th, I think, episode, and we have 107 interview this afternoon with an author. We interviewed all kinds of people, people you'd know of, people you wouldn't know of. And I think right now, as of yesterday, we are on all 7 continents. I know 63 countries, and I think we just finally cusped over 2,000 subscribers in over 2,000 cities. So it's been this kind of surreal journey. Like, what is happening here? I didn't expect it. It was going to be kind of a side gig to be able to share, you know, the wisdom that we get to share with clients and to share other people's stories and their wisdom, just to help make the world a better place. And it really has taken off, and I'm incredibly happy with it. Next year, we're doing some extraordinary things with it. We're moving to a new level with it. It'll be one of my primary, that and bringing on new private clients will be my primary focus next year. Because for the last couple of years, I really haven't really brought on many new clients. I purposely said I don't want to bring on any new clients. I want to really focus on the podcast and my writing, and post-COVID, getting my speaking engagements back up again. Speaking engagements, I'm sorry. Brought on a handful of clients last year. It was very selective. We'll be selective again this year, but we will we will most definitely be bringing on a lot more clients who meet the criteria that I mentioned earlier, you know, the determined and purpose-driven and character-based people. So, but yeah, it's just been a lot of fun. I love meeting people like that. And the crazy thing is, Brent, I'm an introvert. Like I love being alone. I'm alone almost all the time.
You do live in the UP where aloneness is easy.
Yeah, and that's true, because when I was in Grand Rapids, I did socialize more, but I prefer to be alone. But I do have extroverted tendencies as well. But being able to meet these amazing people from all over the world, you know, from Hawaii to Sweden, we interviewed, I think next week, somebody from India. It's just been amazing to hear their journey and hear their life and the habits they've created to live a life of purpose and really every day to help this show, share what they're doing to, you know, pull those extra layers of marble off them to live their true peak identity a little more every day. It's fascinating. This podcasting world is fascinating. That's why it's an honor to be on here with you as you begin this journey, because this is going to be a really successful podcast. And I'm happy to be kind of at least in the first phases of it anyway, as a guest.
Well, thank you, Brian. I appreciate that. Before we go, is there anything that I didn't ask that you think would be valuable for the Poultry Leadership listeners?
You know, I ask that question oftentimes in my podcast, and do you think it'd be easier for me to come up with an answer? You know, I think a lot of people, a question that is, what is one thing I can do today? What is one thing I can do today that is small, costs no money and very little time, that could help me to just start the journey of self-development? And I would share the answer is always have a pad of paper and a pen on your person at all times. Always. Whether you're taking a shower, you're at the beach, it doesn't matter. Within reach, always have a pad of paper. It can be a small journal. It can be a pocket notebook and a pen, because you're going to come up with ideas, and you have all of your lives. All your life, you come up with ideas that could have incredible impact on your life, the life of your loved ones, as well as the world. And we just kind of, they come and they fleet right through. Boom, they're gone. And document those, you know, start a journal in the process and put these ideas down, revisit that journal on a consistent basis. So what I do, Brandon, is I always have everywhere I go. And I've been told that I can't carry a fanny pack. So I don't. But if I could, I would, and I have like five of them. But now I just carry a pad of paper in my pocket, no matter where I go, a little pad and a pen. And I come up with ideas when I'm not even thinking of them. I don't come up with ideas as I'm sitting down trying to come up with them. They come when I'm driving, running, I'm hiking, just doing shopping or whatever. That's when they come up, and I write them down, and then I go back and I put them in my journal. And then I revisit my journal quite a bit, and I go, there's an idea that I can really start to develop. That's something I can start doing tomorrow or today to help improve my life and the lives of others. So that's one thing I think is just something simple. Never be out of reach of a piece of paper and a pen. It can be the back of a receipt. It doesn't matter. Just something you could document your thoughts and learnings.
Yeah, Brian, thank you for that. For those who don't know what a pen and paper are anymore because of technology has changed the world, there is a thing called notepad in your phone. And I know my phone is just full of notes that are, hey, I got this wild, crazy idea. But there is value to paper and pen because you're not distracted, because I've got in those notes before and all of a sudden a text comes in and totally takes me away from the idea that I could have written down. And I've done voice to text while I'm running and, you know, hey, Siri, you know, put this reminder on for me or whatever. And so, but yeah, great tool for our listeners that, you know, just to be able to capture those things. And it might not, you know, it just might be a seed that you plant today that idea just comes back a week later. And, you know, I wrote it down again and then a week later and go, man, maybe there's something to this.
Right.
Maybe there's something to this idea that I just keeps coming back. As Siri listens to me on my phone, it's really funny that I look over and it's recording my conversation.
I do that too. I do that quite often too. They tend to listen too. And then whatever I write down later on, I'll get an ad for it somewhere on it.
Yeah.
And social media. Or you document it, just document it. You know, I like pen and paper because I can write faster than I can type with my thumbs or on a computer. But yeah, however you can bring get it out of your skull and put it somewhere so later. And the 90% of them are going to be trash, but it's that 10% that changes the world.
Brian, I just thank you for your time. It's so valuable to me to know to get this much time with you. And I know what this value is going to bring to the listeners. And I just really appreciate you being on here. And I know our listeners will as well. So as a listener, make sure you go to the Bamboo Lab podcast, since he didn't even call his own podcast name out. But the Bamboo Lab podcast has been, you know, there's enough episodes on there you can binge. If you're driving across the country, you can binge for quite a while. And you're just going to go story after story after story of really inspirational people, some of them that are famous and some of them that are not. And it's cool that there's so many common threads through there that will just help you develop. So there's a resource that I wanted to share with the listener group is your podcast, Brian. So thank you for being here today. I really appreciate it.
You know what I think of you and feel about you. So anytime you need anything from me, this was an honor. I would have done it regardless, but this was an actual honor. And I think I love your format. I love the way you ask questions. And you make it very, very easy for someone to just feel like they're just talking to a friend on the phone.
Before we go, I need to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Prism Controls. Without them, this podcast wouldn't exist. They have been partnering with the poultry producers like you for over 40 years and are leading the way to provide technology to farmers that solve real problems. To find out more information, they can be reached at 1-844-4-PRISM-4 or their website, www.prismcontrols.com.